But we start in Cuba, where there were 21 gun salutes to former President Fidel Castro today after the revolutionary leader died Friday at the age of 90, setting off tributes but also celebrations of his passing, especially in Miami, home to a large Cuban exile community. His death comes at a time when the U.S. is trying to establish relations with Cuba. The first commercial flight landed today. President Obama delivered that historic speech in Havana in March. At that time, we spoke with Patrick Hidalgo, who was there. His parents had fled Cuba. His mother's family was rounded up, many jailed because of his grandfather's opposition to Castro. His father was part of the counter-revolution launched from Miami. Patrick and Sister Bibi grew up to become activists in the movement to reinstate relations between the U.S. and Cuba. Patrick served as director of the White House Business Council. He co-founded the business strategy firm Future Partners, and full disclosure, was my tenant when he was a student at Harvard's Kennedy School. He's at WLRN in Miami today, and Patrick, given your family's history, relatives jailed by Castro, your thoughts when you heard of his death?
It's been a very emotional weekend, to say the least. I think me and a lot of my family members and friends, I think there's a whole range of emotions from relief to pensiveness and contemplation. And on one hand, he hasn't been in power for almost a decade. So the analytical, you know, side of me knows that this doesn't mean there's going to be a sea change in anything in Cuba. It's very unlikely in the short term. But from a symbolic and personal narrative level, it was interesting to be able to see my parents' reaction. My mother was more happy about it and, you know, sort of positive. And my father was more reflective. And it was interesting to see how this has just brought up a lot of bad memories for a lot of Cubans that fled Cuba in particular.
Well, your grandfather had been a dean of engineering at Villanova in Cuba. He was for social justice, so kind of torn in that way for some of the things behind the revolution, but also against the dictatorial tendencies, you tell us, of Castro, and they included firing squads and rounding up and jailing people. That could have included your grandfather.
That's right.
So a family torn in some ways.
Absolutely. It was my mother's one of 14 kids. Their story is pretty intense because my mother was put in jail at age 17 for 38 days for being against, you know, the revolution. And she had been a young activist and two of her sisters as well. And my grandfather, as you mentioned, and one of my mother's uncles, so my grandfather's brother, got a 20 or 30 year sentence in jail and ended up dying in prison. So it was quite traumatic for the family. And then, of course, undergoing the whole immigrant experience in the 1960s, you know, being an exile slash immigrant in the 60s and 70s in the U.S. was not the easiest thing, especially when you have 14 kids.
Yeah, well, but then you and your sister grew up to be progressives who wanted to reunite with Cuba, despite, you know, many, Marco Rubio comes to mind, Ted Cruz, felt that as long as the Castros were in power, there should be no relations. As long as there were human rights violations, there should be no relations. You were for opening, especially business relations. What's your sense now? Because President-elect Donald Trump has said his administration might overturn and reverse President Obama's moves to open relations with Cuba. Raul Castro is still in charge. What are your thoughts about what happens now?
Sure. I think it's up in the air. We don't know for sure. I think Donald Trump made various promises. At one point during the campaign, he, you know, signaled that he was fine with the changes on Cuba policy. And then right towards the end, he came down to Miami and, you know, met with some of the traditional hardline community here and then came out and said that he would reverse the openings. And there's many pieces to the openings. It won't be easy to unravel all of it. As you might know, there are already hundreds of flights now going from the U.S. to Cuba. We had 200,000 Americans go to Cuba that are not of Cuban descent. So the travel numbers have risen exponentially. And there's also a lot of evidence to show, and this is part of why I've always been for engagement. The rise of civil society in Cuba has been dramatic, and the entrepreneurial and business openings have been dramatic. 25% of the Cuban workers work in the private sector now. And it used to be a paltry number. So that's a big deal, because as people start getting more money and more autonomy, they will start, you know, demanding other things. And that's always been the theory of change for engagement. So if Donald Trump is, if he really wants to be a deal maker, as he often says, you know, I think an optimistic read is that he asks for some changes in Cuba and then tries to, you know, renegotiate a new deal that he can own, which is fine with us, because ultimately this is about the people in Cuba. Or if he does what, all, you know, too many of the past presidents have done, which is kind of kowtow and take a really hard line and demand everything tomorrow, free election, free press, you know, that Raul Castro leave the country, et cetera. It's just unrealistic. It won't happen, and it would really set us backwards. So a lot of us are hopeful for the best, but we've seen the worst play out various times.
Yeah. Patrick Hidalgo, he's co-founder of the business strategy firm Future Partners. His parents fled Cuba, and he's been reflecting on Castro's death. Patrick, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it.